Welcome back, everyone, to Red Spotlight Entertainment. I'm Alexis Soto, joined by David Francisco here for our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. reaction commentary series made for the longtime Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan that wants to come back on here and talk endlessly about one of our favorite shows of all time. And last time we were here, we ended up reacting to the 8th episode of Season 3. And I hope that all of the people who are watching know that the episode that we're about to watch is not one to be taken lightly. And if I'm being honest with you, I would rather just stop watching or maybe even just skip this episode, because this is one of those episodes I think honestly kind of left scars when I first watched it. I think ultimately in this episode, a character has something wonderful completely ripped away from them. And I think as an audience, we have the same thing happen to us. And so this episode, above anything else, was quite rude I think the fans, in the sense of like what's going on here. Not obviously, well, maybe it was in a intentional way here, but the episode I gotta tell you that I've been dreading from the very instant that we started reacting to Season 3. And yeah, it's gonna be an interesting one, that's for sure. Today we're gonna be talking about episode 9 of Season 3, titled Closure, the thing that Ward never like stops bitching about. We titled it. This is written by Brent Fletcher and directed by Kate Woods. Originally aired on December 1st, 2015. The stars are regular main cast: Clark Gregg, Ming-Na Wen, Ian DeCastaker, Elizabeth Henstridge, Chloe Bennett, Brett Dalton, Nick Blood, Adrian Palicki, Henry Simmons, and Luke Mitchell. Returning, of course, is our guest stars Powers Booth as Gideon Malik, Constance Zimmer as Rosalind Price, R.I.P., Juan Pablo Raba as Joey Gutierrez, Andrew Howard as Luther Banks, Mark DeCascos as Guerra, and Tyler Ritter as Thomas Ward, a character that had been, I think, we've seen previously at a different age, and now we're going to see for the first time in the present time. I should have also mentioned that when it aired on ABC Television Network, it was to 3.84 million viewers. Yeah, this is going to be the episode where we're going to have to lose some people, unfortunately. I do want to say, though, because the last two episodes, we did start off with kind of like the one before that, it was about, you know, well, actually, the last two have been a little bit about, you know, the trajectory of the MCU and how it's linked with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Last time that we did this, we had not seen Fantastic Four. I understand that there are probably a lot of Marvel fans themselves who are watching this, so I did want to take the opportunity to plug a little review that David and I did that's also on the channel. It's called Fantastic Four Movie Review. What you will notice that is different this time around is that we're actually in the same room. Right? So that's a little bit of a difference. And I think if we're going to consider what we discussed last time, I think it's kind of hilarious that while there's plenty of positive things to say about Fantastic Four, and we did say them, and you will watch it when you watch the review that we did here, one of the main takeaways that I've seen people have is it wasn't much on character.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because that usually is the case. Even with their best movies, there's still, I think in the earlier movies, especially when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was airing on TV, in the earlier movies, they had, at least I could have sworn it felt like they had more character stuff. But in hindsight, it may have just been the fact that they cast a really likable actor.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really likable. And I think that carried them through a lot of the movies, where they didn't really have to attack that too much in the writing. And I think now it's under a much more scrutinized lens because of like how pretty bad things have been lately. If Fantastic Four had come out, let's just say this movie as is, if let's just say this movie came out like right after Endgame, people would be like, oh my God, oh my God, this is the best movie. Mm-hmm. Finally, we're going to start off Phase 4 with Fantastic Four. Honestly, Fantastic Four, I think for the most part is like up there with, not at the very top of the MCU, but like as far as the middle is concerned. You know, I think it has good company with an Ant-Man or a Doctor Strange. You know, they're not bad movies, but they're lacking severely. Of course, I bring that up because, of course, you know, with comparing the characterization with S.H.I.E.L.D. And I know it's not necessarily always fair to compare a TV show to a movie series. But, oh, wait, the Marvel franchise is kind of like a cinematic TV series anyway. And mm-hmm. we have characters that appear again and again and again. And I'm sorry, but I'm not really interested in being fair when the Marvel movies clearly go into production without anything clearly in mind for, forget the story, the characters especially. They could give a rat's ass if they're the same at the end as they were in the beginning. And I think that's going to be, even if the rest of the MCU picks up production value, that's always going to be the thing that holds them back. And I, like I said, I think we all felt it immediately, David, that the comparisons are just not very kind. When you have DC now under the stewardship of James Gunn, who's the antithesis of Kevin Feige, and is seemingly steering the ship with the frame of mind that we need to be concerned with character first.
Yeah.
So, because Superman came out 2 weeks ago, and of course people are going to be having both in their heads. And I don't know, I just feel like you're seeing something happen in real time. The Fantastic Four didn't even have as big of an opening as Superman. We'll discuss that more in the next podcast that we do. But I think it's a sign that of what I've been saying, in that there might be enough people who have said, I think I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it didn't top Superman the first weekend, I don't think it's gonna even get close to Superman when both movies close at the box office, if I'm telling the truth here, which is kind of crazy because, like, don't you remember back when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was on TV, when the peak of the MCU was happening, how excited and frothing at the mouth people would get at the thought of a Kevin Feige-produced Fantastic Four movie?
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, Fantastic Four First Steps, this one out, is probably going to be the best box office performing of the Fantastic Four films, but that's a very low bar.
Yeah.
That is a very, very low bar to even clear. Because I gotta tell you, man, I feel like if Fantastic Four, if this movie had come out immediately, like let's say before or after Endgame, $1 billion easy. Even if it was worse than this version that we got, it's still $1 billion easy.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to put that out there because last time we had had a little bit of an asterisk about, well, let's see how Fantastic Four turns out. I mean, I do want to say, though, for those that did enjoy the film, I'm happy that you did. We enjoyed it, too.
We had fun with it. Yeah, go ahead, David. It was just, it was missing character. That's really all it is.
Yeah.
Man, does that movie show like how important it is for a movie to have that. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. And again, if you want to hear more of our thoughts, we had a review on our channel with a sleep deprived Peter Martinez. Even though he ended up, I guess, making it all the way this time, although he was like slipping in and out of consciousness, which may provide some minor entertainment value for those of you who watch it. Anywho, as we get into today's episode, David, let's go ahead and get to some of the comments that we received last time around.
Mm-hmm. First one's from Serenity. It says, Fitzsimmons kiss.
Yeah, finally, finally. It took 52 episodes and we finally got there.
Yep. And next one's from ShieldVids. I love the lore. This episode gave Hydra, making Red Skull's Hydra more of a faction of it. Makes Hydra a bit more complex, and this episode really starts to foreshadow Ward's role in the story. The opening and him commenting on the octopus and being adaptable is just perfect. Which, it didn't really, cross my mind that, that's his fate. And I think the adaptable part of it, we might have been talking over it. I don't know. I still wouldn't have pointed it out, but but yeah, good catch.
Yeah, no, the reworking of the origin of Hydra is actually quite brilliant. And again, kudos for Marvel executives for allowing them to do that. And I think it ends up working quite well because it doesn't retcon anything like that happened in the movie. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, Red Skull is still around. The change is that Hydra wasn't created because of the Nazis. Hydra ended up attaching themselves to the Nazis. Well, actually, this faction of Hydra joined with the Hydra... Hydra, technically, yes. The name Hydra came from the Nazis, but the group was known as other names before they were ever known as Hydra. And part of that line, the original line of, I guess, Hydra ancestors came from the time of Hive. And the first in humans. And then it just kept being passed down. Later on this season, we're going to get into some interesting things. Because I love how they don't just throw that out there. They actually explore that. And they use Gideon Malik through that. Because in two ways. Because Gideon Malik and his line of Hydra family, they're going to get a spotlight in the next half of this season. And we're going to see that come to clash with other members of Hydra who are not at all from the Malik line that are there to bring back Hive, but were brought in because of Red Skull. Like one of his acolytes that we spent last season talking about, Daniel Whitehall, who will come back this season having communications with a young Gideon Malik, and how Whitehall thought that they were all crazy. And stupid for, I guess, worshiping a rock or something, blah, blah, blah. There's different layers to Hydra. And I feel like every time that with the exception of Nathaniel Malik was the only villain that was kind of not really a character. He was just more so a byproduct of, the messing around with timey-wimey shit. The Malik family comes back in a big way in the 7th season. With the exception of Nathaniel Malik, most of the Hydra villains of the show have quite a layer of dimensions to them. They don't all feel the same, and they all have different motivations, and they kind of all come from different perspectives and factions, which I think helps keeps things fresh. And for me anyway, helped make it not feel like we're doing the exact same thing all over again. So just wanted to put that out there.
And last one's from Silva. One of the better episodes of the season, and a big reason for me is Mark Cascos. His introduction as Guerra really worked
for me. That's the Inhuman with the Magneto powers.
Okay. Really worked for me as a fan of the actor, along with Blair Underwood, Powers Booth, and Brett Dalton. One could argue this is the best group of villains of the series. Which I can kind of agree with that, honestly.
But it's not saying nothing. I mean, this show has a strong rogues gallery of villains, mm-hmm. I would say.
It's
with the exception of the last season, I think most of the villains of the whole show are just great villains.
Yeah, they're all really good. They're all they're all threatening, but yeah, I can agree with like this set of villains as being the best because they're threatening, but also just they're good at what they're doing. You know, they're manipulative. Yeah. They're they know like what kind of goals they want and everything. Like, it's just, I mean, Powers Booth himself is just a standout.
He's a great especially presence. For
this episode.
Yeah. And plenty of people would also say, well, they love John Garrett because of Bill Paxton. Last year we had, I mean, Jaing and I guess Cal at one point was a villain. And then there's also Reyna. And then we haven't met Dr. Radcliffe yet or Ada.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one for the next year. There's also the Cassiuses and Sonara and all the other ones to look forward to. So, yeah, I think for the most part, they've got some pretty, pretty great villains.
Mm-hmm. Silva also said, I even enjoyed Hunter and Lincoln here as they were used well. Hope both of you are doing good, which we are.
No, we are. We're doing really, really good. It's been a good couple of weeks. We've had, I've had more time, I should say. So we've been like spending a lot more time with like getting some content out there, having some, and we've been having some really good discussions. There's actually been a lot of really good material to have some conversations about. So yeah, that's our plug for Red Spotlight if you are so inclined. Next comment, or are we good with that one?
That's all though.
All right, so with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into this episode. Oh my god. All right, I guess we have to do it. I wish I could just skip the first 5 minutes. All right, let's go ahead and press play in 3, 2, 1 and go. On Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm going to say, I think it is one of the more impressive seasons with like, remember like how we started the season with all these different storylines that didn't even feel like they went together. And now it's all one story. Mm-hmm. It's like really crazy how they make that happen all the time. But this season, I think more than the other ones. Oh God, this scene is so perfect. Mm-hmm. Like everything from where we start right now, this is just so casual. They're having a dinner date. The banter, of course, between the two. At this point, you can tell they're so comfortable with each other. He really didn't know what swipe right meant.
Yeah.
That's... Oh my god, I never even noticed that before. Like, she opened the ketchup for him because she knew he would have a hard time.
It is a little harsh, especially with S.H.I.E.L.D. being infiltrated by Hydra. It's like, I think I have you beat on that.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. And then...
the shock. The absolute shock. Like, what? Because this scene... this was such a good scene that you completely even forgot, I think, what show you were watching, and then this fucking shit happens, and you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And it are you kidding me? And then this reveal, right here, when they...
Yeah, it's crazy, because, like, it makes sense that it's fucking Ward that does this. But at the same time, when I first saw it, I was like, this comes out of nowhere. I was like, wait a minute, hold on, give me a second here, what? Like, what are you doing? And
fuck, man.
And it could be because it just comes out of nowhere, but also could be because, you know, I like this character. She's awesome.
That's the thing. This is like horrible because I'm like, this is a great character. Now she's fucking dead.
Mm-hmm.
She's fucking dead. But I think we all knew that. That pan toward, that's the show announcing, yeah, you better be pissed because we're going to fucking kill him now. Because this is the last fucking straw. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Human shield. Love it. It's also, I think, one of the better episodes to showcase, in case anybody forgot, Coulson's a very, very talented agent.
Mm-hmm.
And can still be very, very much in his element, even in the field. Like, I think this is one of the better showcases of, like, what he can handle on his own as a field agent, even though he's not a field agent here, but look what he can do. Like, pretty resilient, pretty resourceful. Like, taking out basically a whole battalion of Hydra troops. Jam. Right?
He landed feet first. Oh my god. And
I think any of us would have, if that were you and me, I think we would have been dead on impact. Hey, Mac. Where you been? You know? Damn, he has her blood on his shirt. There's a theme. Kind of operates like a universal family theme that we hear it throughout the show. We've heard it many times in the first two seasons, but it's used a little bit less and less as the show goes on. It's also, like, Sky's theme, too, so it's, like, Bear uses it for, like, multiple reasons, or, yeah. Well, actually, it's like, I don't know. I think it's its own theme, but it has the beginning part of Sky's theme. But great score already. That means you may, and the things that you do with, you did with him. To be clear, that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Yeah. There was that too.
They're all getting a reaction of like, oh, okay, we're going deep. Okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of what happened here,
mm-hmm.
basically. That's true.
Freaking love Polish Booth, dude. He is like oriented as Garrett, and but it was very much known that Garrett used Ward as a puppet, but I loved that Powers Booth is using war to literally become a leader, you know, to like yeah. just set everything aside, you know. This is honestly, he's really reminded me of one of my favorite villains from an anime, My Hero Academia, where he, that villain also is like doing the best he can to shape his apprentice to become a great villain, to become a great leader, you know. He lets them make some mistakes, he lets them, you know, gives them little hints here and there to go, hey, this is kind of how you want to go about it if you want to win, you know. It's like, he's so freaking cool.
And, no, he really is. I had the same thing too. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say it's just, Powers Booth and the villain from the anime I was talking about.
Uh-huh. This is the first indication that Mac will eventually succeed Coulson as director of S.H.I.E.L.D., and this is a great showcase for him to be able to be put up to the test.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how they address, shouldn't May technically be number two, but right now maybe isn't the best time emotionally for her, so that's a really good explanation for what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Powers Booth, though, he is so good. And the thing is, like, he's a true believer. This is not some, like, Hydra hack that's just doing this for, like, money and fame. Like, he's been brought up. This is like his religion to him, and he's getting a chance to free the god that he's been brought up to worship. Mm-hmm. And he's like all about it. And Powers Booth just sells that with such conviction. And it's like, it's this really interesting dichotomy where like you have somebody who is so brilliant, like Gideon Malik, but also so stupid. Cause like, what do you think is going to happen when you bring back a god from his prison? What do you, he's not going to need you anymore the minute you free him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the great wizard Babidi from Dragon Ball Z. Like, what do you think was going to, what did he think was going to happen when they brought back Majin Buu from the sealed up thing? I mean, mm-hmm. why, his father, Bibbidi, which, I mean, I realized way too late in life, the pun on that, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, whatever. But his father, Bibbidi, sealed Buu away because Buu was defiant.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just fucking let him out of his cage. And then guess, like, Boo literally, like, decapitated Babidi with his fist. Like, this happens all the time. Not even, like, in all kinds of stories where, like, they free this beast or they free this, like, entity. And then, like, the people who freed them are like, well, thank you for doing that. Now, if you don't mind, let me kill you so I can move on with my killing spree. Like, but I do love this idea of, like, you know, getting Ward to, I guess, believe in more than what he already is. Of course, it is for a pretty, like, hellish cause, but, you know, it's you are correct in that Garrett never really gave that to Ward. Because
mm-hmm.
Garrett really didn't have any direction at all except for, like, keeping himself alive.
Yeah. And then the moment, I mean, I'll say this is probably the cool thing about Garrett is that once he got what he wanted, he let Ward do whatever he want. You know, he didn't just
basically,
throw him
yeah.
away. Technically, he threw him away, but at the same time, he's kind of like, I mean, dude, do whatever you want. Like, I don't care. It's like, I built you up to this. You're capable on your own. But yeah.
Which is pretty hilarious that he would say that Gideon's father would say, never send a boy to do a man's job. If you think about Gideon, I mean, his father, what's his father's name? Wilfred Malik, was technically a boy doing a man's job, which was essentially his origin story. It was a whole thing that we'll see in season 7. But again, just like, these Nazis are hypocrites, people. Open your eyes, because we have neo-Nazis today, and they're hypocrites too. You can tell, though, like, Ward's kind of proud of them.
Yeah, right.
For, like, holding up to that. Mm-hmm. In a really fucked up way, mind you, but it was like, oh, these two have come a long way. By the way, it's like, it's hilarious how the minute Coulson like leaves, it all goes to shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, which is a true test for Mac. By the way, I would have paid anything to see Mac's face because like, the whole reason Mac even called was for help, and Coulson was like, just throws the phone and hangs up.
Yeah.
Seems like this is a jewelry store of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the last time, by the way, that an agent, that Phil Coulson himself would rob a jewelry store. For those that know, they know. See, Mad Max Fury Road was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is December 1st that it would air. Mad Max was back in May. So clearly already in a couple of like months, Furiosa had a big impact on people, including the ones that were making the show. This is really dark because, like, Guerra probably gets a hard on fucking, like, torturing people, if we're being honest. Like, it's kind of his thing.
Yeah.
And Ward is, like, he knows how to play those two, Fitz and Simmons. Like, right now what he's going to do is, like, the whole reason he's even torturing Gemma is because he knows Fitz will always fold to save her life. See, like, the thing about the way he's talking to Fitz, it's like, does he think he's being kind to him? Because he's really coming off like a fucking asshole. It's like, because the way that he's even phrasing it, like, hey, dude, I had your best interests in mind the whole time. I was telling you to, like, say something, you know? Meanwhile, I haven't said too much yet, but like, damn, Savage Coulson is kind of amazing. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to tell you, he's Unchained Coulson is like,
I mean, yeah, after Trip died, I mean, he was ready to take down Hydra.
Cutthroat Coulson. Yeah, you're right. It comes out rarely now and then, but when it comes out, he means freaking business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, he kidnapped Ward's younger brother, who has nothing at all to do with this world. And I'm not even sure if Coulson even knew if he was being serious right now when he threatens to kill him. It's actually a pretty good move, though, on Coulson's part. Like, yep, She's also just, like, not even accurate, because, like, Ward is talking about Fitz and Simmons, like, he's kidnapped them, but, like, we have a long line of people who he's, like, either murdered or attempted to murder. Rosalind, Andrew, Eric Koenig, Agent Hand, and then Bobby last season. This is the only one he didn't kill. Speaking for the audience there. Right on cue. See how he switches it up?
Mm-hmm.
It's just... You killed her! Am I remembering that wrong? Like, he's talking about Kara.
Yep.
You were the one that emptied a whole magazine into her chest. Like... See, that makes it even worse. Mm-hmm. What we already knew, it's like, Ward is a fucking monster. And he's such a sociopath, he doesn't even, I guess, grasp the terrible things that he's done. Like, to him, it doesn't even justify it as bad. It's mm-hmm. just like, yeah, you got played. Even the castle comes back, which is hilarious. Hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. A hard agree. <That's>... Which, that also is a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really tell, like, the motivations anymore. Which is why you even asked about the assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You've got in humans, desperate times calls for desperate measures.
Yep.
That's just kind of where we're at this point. Man, Ward's just being a bitch. Like, the whole episode. Come on.
He knows his team well, huh?
Just... Yeah, at this point, yeah. He's really good at this.
Yeah, he's great.
even May is like, nice speech director. It's like, yep. Like,
no, I mean, he really
it's
is.
Pretty, it's funny because, like, up until this episode, like, thought to myself that Mac would be a good successor, but, like, he really stepped up this episode. Mm-hmm. And just, you were saying.
No, sorry. I mean, he's a good pick because he's sort of an opposite of Coulson. And, I mean, what I mean by that is, like, Coulson himself is, like, an opposite of Fury, you know? Fury is willing to give up anyone to get the mission done. That's not Coulson. He's not willing to give up anyone to do a mission, you know? If he does, if he sets a mission, it's in mind to keep that everyone's going to come out. That's kind of what he does. And if someone does, it's like, fuck, but we got to get the mission done. So that's what he does. Mac, though, opposite. It's, you know, he'll make a mission, keeping in mind that everyone needs to survive. But the second someone does get hurt, he's going to pull them out, unlike Coulson.
Yeah.
So.
S.H.I.E.L.D. murdered Kara? You murdered her!
no. What the hell is that?
Did this Hydra.
What?
It was Hydra. The glitch, you mean, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. I thought you didn't see it. I'm like, you didn't seem to react. I'm like, wait, is it just on me? Okay. I was literally about to talk when that happened, too. That was funny.
No shit.
Yeah, I was like.
No, I was like.
Again, Powers Booth. Fucking amazing. Like, the fact that he's basically begging Ward to go through the portal. But not only that, but, like, it's very intentional that, like, he's sat down when he talks to him and all that. He's not, like, standing up to him going, like, you will do what I say and all that. It's like, no, it's like, I know you're capable of more than this. More than the speech he's giving him is, like, what every hero does. You know, Batman probably told this to Robin when, you know, stop getting revenge on the person who killed his parents and all that. Like, this is, that's what makes such a cool villain.
Yeah.
He's awesome. And here's the other thing, too. Ward, like, you know, let's go the revenge, does what he thinks seems to be important. And he technically comes out bigger. He becomes stronger from it. So.
Is the episode already over?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we didn't really talk much episode, but that's only because so much good stuff happening.
This moment here, I think it maybe is the most badass thing Coulson ever did. It's badass,
but also insanely just lucky, dude. Fucking
batshit crazy, man, because it could have ended very badly. I mean,
a few inches off, and we would have had a very different view.
and Hunter was about to go after him, mm-hmm. and then the missiles fired.
God.
I was like, what the fuck was that?
And also, too, again, if he was off by a few inches, like, we could have seen something so different. It's just, I can't get that out of my head, honestly.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, it's not as if Coulson did that completely unscathed. We're going to see right now what happens.
Still, though, could have been so much worse.
Oh, you know, he would have. See, that's him, I think. Oof. Yeah, that'll knock you out. I mean, that's probably a concussion, right? Like,
yeah.
The Rock was just perfectly there.
I know,
huh? Oh my God.
Shaped and all that. It was a weird shot, I gotta be honest.
Oh my god.
When he hit his head.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's go ahead and get into some initial reactions from Reddit. Let's see what the Redditors thought of it when it aired first 10 years ago. Poor Fitz, marooned across the galaxy with his crush's hunky boyfriend, the hero who betrayed him, and his boss. Worst corporate retreat ever. He didn't even get cool camouflage. Yeah, camouflage isn't cool. I said what I said. Let's take a moment to recognize all the brave phones that gave their lives in for this episode. All the phones, yeah. There were a lot of phones that were thrown across the room, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Weren't there? For some reason, the image of Ward going off the clock in the last few months and into a movie theater to see Fury Road is the most bizarre thing ever. All right. Literally everything that could have possibly happened in that episode happened. Mm. Well, shit. What the fuck? Coulson, stop using your emotions. Writer's room this past summer. Everyone. Some genius. So what if we just went straight fucking savage? Everyone in the room. Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Fans. Okay, fans, it's okay. This is like a if you're reading a screenplay, fans, writers, whatever. So fans say, just fuck my shit up, and writers, gotcha, fam. And the edit. I don't know if this is actually funny, but I may have been drinking through the episode, so bear with me. Double edit. Thank you for the gold.
Okay.
Next episode will be Captain Coulson, Civil War. And I can't what? Captain Coulson, Civil War. Okay. Coulson was channeling his inner Captain America in that jump. Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of moments in the show where he very much. I mean, we already know he loves Captain America. He said to himself, he watched the Avengers. So it's like, but throughout the show, they give you like a couple of nods to it. This jumping out of the plane like that, I believe last season, there was a photo frame of that said trust in Cap. And I believe at some point he's going to get his own shield. So definitely very much there. That was one of the most thrilling openings of the show. Well, that whole episode, actually. Don't think I've seen Coulson so pissed before. This is what happens when someone crosses his line. This episode is also why Ward is among my favorite villains of the MCU. Some of the best ones truly believe they are the heroes of their own stories. I was not expecting any of that. Seriously. Killing off Rosalyn before the title card was a ballsy move. Fucking fantastic. Also, the writers finally killed any argument for Ward being a decent person by finally giving us the closing word on what happened that day as well, which is the well situation. Mm-hmm. And even if things did go the way Ward claims, Thomas revealed that Grant was shitty to him from then on. Well, there's our answer. Anyways, Secret Warriors hype. I'm so fucking excited. Well, that may not be the best of hypes to place your faith in, but hey, I'm glad people were excited about that while it lasted. So I love Coulson. This is somebody else. I love Coulson, but I'm kind of thinking Mac is an amazing director.
I mean, it's a short moment, and you know,
right?
He'll
be director for all of next episode too. To be fair, so
okay,
we're gonna see more of director.
Yeah, we're gonna see more, but it's still a little moment,
right? Portal logic verified. Don't go through at 100 miles per hour. Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. Coulson should have been wearing long fall boots. Coulson's Olympic dive into the portal is maybe the funniest thing the show has ever done. Seriously, well-timed jump. Like in the middle of missiles, the jet presumably dodging said missiles, and I'm going in what I assume is roughly a forward motion. Coulson managed to jump right in the middle of the portal. No chunks of shield agent to wipe off the side of the castle for Hydra janitors. That's funny. That episode offered no closure whatsoever. Fucking lying title. That's funny. What the fuck even happened this episode? They packed so much into 1 hour that I kind of forgot that Roz was killed in the first 2 minutes. Damn. This episode has everything. Death of a beloved character, love interests torn apart, a family torn apart, a Mad Max reference, Mac being a fucking badass, and Coulson losing his motherfucking mind and jumping headfirst into a demon portal. A+ episode. I mean, that's a really good way of describing what it is that we just watched.
Yeah.
I swear, every episode of this season is a candidate for best episode of the show. I feel so bad for all the fanboys who quit in season one. I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad. I mean, if you quit, you quit, man. You missed out on this. It is what it is. All right, let's go ahead and go over to... let's go ahead and do Ami.
God damn it, dude. What the shit? What an insane episode. I'm sorry. Like, about the reaction, man. I gotta say, I don't know, man. Like, the whole thing with Rosalind, if you know, you guys have been... Like, I haven't been overselling at all my feelings about, like, just Coulson and her. Like, it literally crushed me when she died. We'd already kind of set things up to, like, kind of do this kind of, like, oh, no, here's where it is, you know, before in previous episodes. And then we kind of made it past those little humps of fear. And then I guess I should have picked up on it because it was just too good. But I thought it was going to be something that happened maybe later. Whatever, but that just impromptu while they were having dinner in such a cute moment, and Ward blows her throat open. And then, like, through that entire, like, action sequence with Coulson, like, I feel like I couldn't enjoy it. Like, I just was still thinking, still lingering on that moment. Because it was just so out of nowhere. Like, I was just kind of spaced throughout that scene. And it took me a while to finally kind of come back out of that stupor. And, like, it just... Like Coulson, man, I want terrible, awful, horrible things to happen to Ward, man. I really, really do. I'm honestly kind of surprised that... I could have swore it. I don't know. Was it ever mentioned before that the younger brother lived? I was under the impression that he died in the well. Maybe there's a detail I'm forgetting. Or maybe it was just never actually specified.
They never said exactly, I don't think.
Sure. But this episode with Coulson on this warpath, this revenge, like, tunnel vision that has kicked in this moment because he's blaming himself for all of this. Him recruiting Hunter, him bringing Bobby along, him leaving Mac in charge and just going off-grid, off the books. He's like, hey, I'm getting this motherfucker. No one else is dying because he is out there. And then he kidnaps, you know, Fitz and Simmons because he knew exactly how he was going to react. He planted the seed to send them there. It's basically like this chess of who can out-manipulate the other. In the end, it's still kind of a draw. Ward managed to get under Coulson's skin, but he also managed to get right back under his. But in the end, you know, he wouldn't stick around for his closure, for his vengeance. He got kind of talked into pursuing more, leading this, you know, trek into the other side and to see how that all plays out. You know, going out there, retrieving this entity that they've been trying to commune with, trying to save and rescue and bring back all this time, and just building and building up to this. And then Fitz, you know, not willing to let Gemma go, even though after everything she'd been through, she was definitely putting the greater good be above herself. But Fitz just simply couldn't do that out after having lost her once already and not wanting to go through that again. Tells them what they need to know, volunteers to go the other side. He's just going to try to bring Will back without bringing this thing, but we'll see how that goes. And then just this infiltration with Coulson after all of this, jumping out of the plane and just diving right through the portal before it went off was such a baller ass move, man. Holy shit. Was that insane? It was wild. Like, I, you know, considering how we know the portals work on the other side, it's just kind of like a hole in the corner of like a mountainside or whatever, at least the ones we saw. I just imagine, because we didn't see it, we saw him tumbling down the side of a thing and then he conks himself out, but he just imagine him going like, just like launching out of the side of a hill like a fucking bullet and then just conk. I'm surprised he's not I mean, realistically, I'm surprised he's not dead. But obviously, the show's not going to do that. But, like, you know, it's kind of funny in that vein. I think they're going to definitely underestimate what's going on here. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how they're going to stumble upon Will either, unless Fitz, you know, has her information, the map that she got, which he probably does. So, like, maybe he's able to figure out where they popped out whenever they need to figure that part of the puzzle out. Meanwhile, because of all this chaos that's going on, the fortifications at Hydra, the Coulson's irrational, responsive to all this stuff, even though he's actually rationalizing, he's thinking logically, he's just on a war path. And Max just trying to make sure that he's got support, got backup in this whole thing. And he recruits Joey, Lincoln, and they're going in with their forces. And he's like, hey, he told us not to go, but we got to go. We got to do what we got to do. We got to save these people, man. We got to stop Hydra from getting on the other side. And, well, we failed at that, but at least maybe we can take out as many people as we can. Maybe get Ward, but at least we got to get our people out of here. Wild episode. Great action sequences all the same. And on top of that, you know, we also lost Banks in this episode too. Pretty much the only people we could trust in the ATCU have just been wiped out in this episode in one fail swoop. God, that was a wild scene too, with DeCascos using his power to like make it look like he shot all of his own men, but then his gun was being manipulated, then it turned on himself, and then this episode was just emotionally draining. I'm curious where we go from here, man. I'm really, really curious. I love the interrogation scenes too, with Coulson going back through all the OG members and just pulling at all these uncomfortable strings, trying to get information and trying to get into Ward's head. And then I like the conversation specifically with Daisy that he had there because of the kinship she was able to find in Ward, because the way they grew up and the way they see the world, and that's part of what lured her in. But by the time she realized what he was going to do, what the kind of person that he became as a result of that he was hiding from her, you know, that's when she realized the truth and things took a different course. But fantastic episode. This might be one of my favorites, if not my favorite episode of the season right now.
Thoughts, David, on any of this before I go to the next one?
No, I mean, I agree. And pretty much brought up what he was bringing up too. Yeah, probably one of the best episodes this season.
Yeah, for sure. I think so. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, bringing it all together. They've all
been pretty good, that's the thing.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, it brought everything together. It's building up to this and all that. So, yeah. It was good.
Here's Eric Goldman, IGN, saying, well, damn. There's a part of me that feels like taking out Roz so soon slightly undercut the impact, as we've just really been getting to know her, but it was undeniably effective how it was done, with that sweet innocuous scene between her and Coulson that opened the episode, ending up being her last. Normally TV rules might have Roz badly hurt or kidnapped in the opening pre-credit scene, so it was jolting to realize no, she was actually just immediately dead, killed by Ward. And wow on Ward, I mean, he has to die now, right? Because he's gone too far. The reveal that he was Hydra was one of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s first great moments, and I've enjoyed him as a villain, while also being so grateful they never gave into any urge or fan desire to see him redeemed. No, he's a bad, bad man. And after this, it really feels like it's time to begin wrapping up his story, because the team can't let him still be out there after all he's done. He killed Koenig, he killed Roz, he tried to kill Fitzsimmons and May, he tortured Bobby, he tortured Simmons. I hate him. In a well-earned, commendable manner. But having him simply be captured again feels dramatically weak. So one way or the other, I do hope season 3 will finally take him out. Once Roz was dead, this episode was elevated into a notably intense and heavy one, as Coulson was now filled with an understandable desire for revenge, while Ward and Malik were feeling more confident than ever, having Fitz and Simmons captured. And knowing Simmons was being tortured, first by Gera, then by Ward himself, hearing it without seeing it was very effective, raised the stakes even more. While Coulson then going on his own extreme lengths by kidnapping Ward's brother was a good way of just showing how far this was going. In the midst of this, there was some silliness. I rolled my eyes at Ward using the uber cliche, "We're not that different, you and I," and it was a bit more nonsense than we needed, with Malik talking about the collective 5 stones collected from the monolith. More stone collecting in the MCU. But most of the closure was taught and exciting, while also going out of its way to once and for all explain who Ward was and the issues that motivated him, including sometimes wanting to be seen as a hero, without letting him off the hook or in any way excusing his actions. It was really interesting to see the original team members recollect on what their encounters with him were like before they knew the truth. And while I could have done without the Monolith Stones, I also liked getting a bit more insight into Malik pulling the strings with Hydra through the years, including name drops of Alexander Pierce and John Garrett. I also really liked Simmons declaring, "Please, just let them kill me," to Fitz when she realized Hydra wanted to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish going to the portal, even as Fitz, of course, refused. I do wish they hadn't killed Banks, oddly enough. Yeah, he'd just been a glowering pain in the ass henchman for most of the season, but then we found out he was intensely loyal to Roz and ultimately a good guy. So taking him out right after Roz was, when it seemed we could have gotten to know him better, felt a bit like the entire ATCU was getting the red shirt treatment, considering we don't really know anyone else in the group. Overall, he gives the episode a 9 out of 10. Amazing. We do have some more conflicting criticism from Oliver Sava from the AV Club. His headline, "Shield sacrifices a captivating relationship to fuel a bland plot." He gave the episode a C+. Closure begins with one of the best scenes of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s third season, a casual dinner date between Coulson and Rosalind Price, where they try to bring a modicum of normalcy to their lives by enjoying some greasy fat food burgers. That sounds good right now, actually. Can I have some? It's the kind of scene this show has seen all too few of, a relaxed, intimate conversation that is more concerned with strengthening the character dynamics than advancing the plot. The banter brings out the chemistry between Clark Gregg and Constance Zimmer, and there's a lot of warmth in their interactions. There's also just a plain... They're just playing cute together, and the cute factor should not be underestimated. The new reigning romance of the MCU, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, delivers both cuteness and sex, showing how adorable the characters are when they're just hanging out, as well as hot, passionate they are when they get down. Highlighting these aspects of the relationships makes Jessica and Luke's dramatic moments hit much harder, and for a few minutes... It looks like Coulson and Price are getting a similar romantic push, albeit without the on-screen sex. And it feels real in a way S.H.I.E.L.D. rarely does. It's not especially easy to relate to secret agents and Inhumans caught in the never-ending battle against the forces of evil, but a scene of two people that are attracted to each other bonding over a meal brings the characters down to earth and makes it easier to connect with their personal experience. This is nice. I want to see more of this, I think to myself. And then Rosalind gets shot in the neck and dies in Coulson's arms, destroying the brief illusion of reality and thrusting the series back into the fantastic world of evil organizations trying to open alien portals to advance their plot for world domination. It's a development that is disappointing for a number of reasons. First, it's a total ripoff that Jenny Calendar plot from the Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where the father figure of the cast gets a romantic partner that is murdered by a former ally, and closure is nowhere near as powerful as Passion, that's the name of the episode, where Jenny Calendar's death. Second, it removes Constance Zimmer from the show, and her performance has been one of the strongest aspects of this season. Third, it wipes out Coulson and Rosalind's relationship, which made the S.H.I.E.L.D. director much more interesting. There was so much potential in their romance, but it's all thrown away to give Coulson extra motivation in his fight against Hydra. There's a slang term for this in superhero comics: fridging. That's the act of abusing or killing a female character to provide motivation for a male hero. David, a term derived from a scene where rookie Green Lantern Kyle Rayner comes home and discovers his girlfriend has been murdered and stuffed into a refrigerator. Writer Gail Simone broke into the industry with her website Women in Refrigerators, which cataloged the numerous incidents where women suffered to progress the stories of men. And if the site was still running today, Rosalind Price would be the latest name on the list. David, do you agree with that assessment?
Again, by definition, yes, this is fridging. But also, again, this is a character that we liked, that was pretty well developed and had awesome chemistry with her love interest, with Coulson. So, again, it's like, you're right. Yes, that is what it is. But this is a good version of it, you know, where we actually care about her. We would have liked to see her out. I feel like it wouldn't have been so... I mean, technically, it is still part of like the definition of it. But I did agree with the other review where
Eric Goldman,
yeah, who was the Rosalind's like second in command,
Banks.
I do wish he would have lived at least, you know, a couple more episodes, because yeah, he was far more wasted than Rosalind was.
He was just fucking killed. He was shot in the head.
Yeah,
like they were like, you know, we don't need you anymore. So.
Like I said, like when he first showed up in the season, I was like, oh, this is the guy that we're just not supposed to like. He was that guy who was about to shoot Daisy, but then got stabbed with a piece of wood. The one dude that we didn't like from the real shield. He was basically like that. But, you know, he had a few cool moments when, you know, he brought up, it's like, oh, yeah, he recruited us. He recruited me and Rosalind. But then, like, he had, like, a little moment to, like, catch his breath. That's all nice, but I feel like him still being alive, trying to like get to the end, you know, trying to get to Ward, would have, you know, it would have been better for her death, but still though, that's still fridging because he's a guy. So I don't know. Yeah, again, like I said,
if you want to be technical about it, perhaps, I guess the stance is, yeah, sure, but I guess it really, your mileage will vary, I mm-hmm. guess, if you care all that much. I thought it was handled very well. But I guess I do understand wanting to see this go further, but that's not where the show wanted to go, apparently. Mm-hmm. He says that Clark Gregg isn't as engaging an actor when he's asked to play grim, vengeful Coulson, and while the opening scene plays to his strengths, the rest of the episode has him in a bleaker mode than feels forced. The script and the score desperately trying to bring weight and tension to the story, but Coulson and Ward's heated phone calls aren't particularly riveting, no matter how hard they throw their phones after they hang up. Also underwhelming is the reveal of Daisy's superpower team, which is just her, Lincoln, and Joey. The show has had 9 episodes to introduce new Inhumans that could be part of Daisy's Secret Warriors. It introduced a grand total of 1, and he appeared in the very first scene of the season premiere. It's a total waste of a status quo that could have easily resulted in a flood of cool new characters with bold designs, but instead... we get one guy who looks completely human. We already had an episode this season about trying to get the portal open, and that plot doesn't suddenly get more interesting because Powers Booth is involved now. This time around, getting the portal open involves Fitz and Simmons getting tortured, which is unpleasant, but helps ramp up the stakes while Ward and Coulson argue on the phone. Writer Brent Fletcher has a reliable source of drama in Fitzsimmons because their relationship is so rigidly defined at this point, and it would be nice to see another pairing with that kind of depth on this series. Rosalind and Coulson could have been that pair, but their relationship, unfortunately, is sacrificed to fuel the overarching season narrative. He even says, I'm surprised S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't immediately fall apart when Mac is made acting director. He's lousy in the field, so I don't know why Coulson would give him such a loaded promotion. Man, I'm like, Oliver, what the hell? They're just like going scorched earth on things that... I mean, I don't understand. I mean, that's his perspective, obviously. I don't understand... where he's coming from,
yeah,
with any of this. Like, this is just,
again, it's one little scene of him leading. There's not really much I can't really, for me at least, I can't say for sure that he's a good leader right now or a bad leader. It's just, all right, he's in the situation. I think he handled it pretty well. You know, he knows they took the time to assess his situation. He knew he was outgunned, outmanned. He's got to take a desperate measure here. And he did with the Secret Warriors. And I do understand the critique of, you know, they ended last season with the Secret Warriors thing. It's like, all right, she's going to build something. And when we finally get the moment, it's just two other dudes, you know. You could have at least added the clone lady, the redhead, added her to the team maybe, because she is alive. You know,
Alicia, I want to say is her name.
I mean, she was, you know, traumatized from fighting Lash and all that. But still, you could have brought her in. Or you could have, you know, maybe earlier had a moment where Lincoln is like, oh, I had to hide the rest of some other people who were in Zha Ying's list, you know, who she kept track of, who left the afterlife. You could have had like a little line beforehand. And then when he comes to this moment, you know, he goes, hey, can you contact someone? You think anyone will help or something? You know, it's a really, you know, it's a little too risky to put in like people who are not in the field to like go into battle and all that. But you could have had a moment, you could have built something up. I don't know. You know, it could have just been like a one-off thing too. It's like, oh, hey, you know, these people who had no training were effective. Let's see if we can get someone who can get the right training and see what they can do.
Yeah, and I would also just say, as far as the critique, that there aren't enough new powered characters or inhuman characters. Be a little patient. We're about to get them. They're on their way. We have a lot more characters to get through that have not been introduced yet. So it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just like, hold on a little bit. I've got nothing else to say. You?
No. Not really.
Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up right there. Thank you all so much for tuning in. And once more, to just remind you that you can leave any comment you like down below. If you have some love letters or hate letters to give us, please go ahead. Or if you want to add on to the conversation about anything we talked about on this episode, please go ahead and do that. Until next time, my friends, we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.